Coming up on episode number 285, I get a chance to sit down and talk with Pat D'Anizio, lead vocalist, guitarist, and songwriter for The Smithereens. They've just come out with a brand new album, a song-by-song cover of the Beatles album, Meet the Beatles. And we'll see what Pat says about it and hear some of the music from it, as well as some other things. All this and more coming up right now on Coverville.
Just getting tougher, whole world is rough, it's just getting rougher, cover me, come on baby, cover me. Well, I'm looking for a little hulu, come on in and cover me.
My guest tonight has enjoyed success both as a solo artist as well as the lead vocalist, guitarist, and songwriter for The Smithereens. The Smithereens are back together after an 8-year hiatus with a new album which covers, song by song, the Beatles' breakout release Meet the Beatles and is entitled appropriately Meet the Smithereens. Pat D'Anizio, welcome to Coverville.
Thank you, Brian. Thanks for having me on the air.
Absolutely. Am I pronouncing it right, by the way? Is it D'Anizio?
Yes, you are. Okay, thank you.
Now, is
one
this...
of the few.
Well, I've got a very unusual last name as well, so I'm used to correcting people. Now, is this the same Smithereens lineup as it was in the 90s, 80s and 90s?
Nearly. It's 3/4 of the original band. Our bass player, Mike, is on one of his hiatus periods whereby he takes off a little time to be with his family. And in fact, he did this several years ago. He had disappeared for a while. And we've been together so long since childhood that we realize that everyone needs their space and needs time for reinvention. And you really do have to put water back in the well, as it were. And for a while he had disappeared. We found that he was opening up a restaurant in San Francisco that he had gone to Culinary Institute. So he's doing something now. And we've got a great bass player filling in for him at the moment, the Thriller from Manila. His real name is Severo Jornacion, and he's played in very many pop bands from the Los Angeles music community, bands like the Masticators and so forth. And he's been on the scene. He's actually the only guy playing in the band who's actually older than I am.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, and he does a remarkable job on this new album, and he's been filling in.
Great. Well, how was it getting the rest of the band back together after... has it been 8 years since Guts?
Well, it's been, yes, 8 years since we recorded our last studio album, which was entitled God Save the Smithereens, but we've never stopped playing live. We've been working, year in, year out, doing at least 50 shows a year. Things like state fairs, community events, legitimate gigs. We just played B.B. King's for the first time in New York City, which is the premier venue to see bands these days, and sold it out for the fourth time. So the audience very definitely never left us, thank God. They've always been there. And we can play the major markets like Hollywood and Chicago and New York City, and we're lucky in that we can still sell out shows. I think a lot of it, Brian, has to do with the equity that was established from touring nonstop, doing 300 shows a year on the road for over 10 years.
Wow.
And also, for a while there, we had lost our core audience to the fact that they graduated college, they got married, they had children, mortgages, jobs. So the kids are grown now, they're coming back to the shows. And they're becoming more active in terms of buying music, especially with the emergence of downloads online through websites like iTunes. And the fact that they can go on Amazon.com, for example, and buy a Smithereens album without leaving the house. In an era where seemingly we're going through some sort of population explosion, all I can tell you is that there's probably 2,000% more traffic in my little town here in New Jersey than there was 5 years ago. So, retail, and I saw this over the holidays. I was at a Borders Books and Music. Can I mention names like that?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah, and I noticed something extraordinary in that they unlock the glass cabinets where they keep the box sets, the more expensive things that they kind of keep away from the general public for fear of shoplifting. But I think retail has been hit so hard by people shopping online that they actually had to open these cabinets up so people could see what was in there.
Right.
That's a telltale sign that there's something wrong, at least to my way of thinking.
No, I think you're right. I probably do a good portion of my purchases online and through digital downloads and things like that.
Yeah, I think that retail is going to be used largely in the future as a kind of showroom more than anything. Mm-hmm. And that's fine with me because the thrill of shopping for CDs and even movies it went out the window a long time ago with the demise of the LP. And this is not to say that I'm not embracing any sort of new technology or ways of marketing music. It's just that visceral thrill of holding up an album and listening to it, listening to the record while you're holding the cardboard sleeve,
right,
and kind of imagining a whole world. For example, Beatles 6, that Capitol Records release, whereby the Beatles were looking very, very cool on the back cover, and they were dressed so wonderfully, and standing around musical instruments, and you began to wonder, God, what would it be like to be there? The artwork and the photographs on the album covers created a whole world for you to enter, and in fact, they were large enough for you to actually see and enjoy it. It's no joy for me to open up a CD booklet and have the strain to read the notes.
There's a whole generation that won't experience the fun of unwrapping an album, pulling out the sleeve, and then putting the vinyl on and reading the lyrics along while you're listening to the album the first time.
Yeah, it's funny. My 12-year-old daughter was visiting during the holiday, and I was in my office working, and she was going through my album collection. And I still collect vinyl. I still buy albums. A lot of it I use as source material in terms of graphic design for new projects. But it was interesting to see her attempt to drop the needle into the groove of the record. Having never done it before, it was sort of touching, actually. I'm sure I had to do it with that delicate, rather deft touch that one can only develop when one has done it their entire life.
Never even thought about it, but yeah, it requires that really soft.
No, it does, doesn't it? Yeah.
In just a moment, we'll ask Pat about the new album, Meet the Smithereens, and why they chose to record a whole album of Beatles covers. But first, let's listen to a track from the album. Here's the Smithereens with "Till There Was You."
There were bells on a hill, but I never heard them ringing. No, I never heard them at all, till there was you. There were birds in the sky, but I never saw them winging. No, I never saw them at all, till there was you. Then there was music and wonderful roses. They tell me in sweet, fragrant meadows of dawn. And you, there was love all around, but I never heard it singing. No, I never heard it at all, till there was you. Tell me in sweet, fragrant meadows of dawn. And you, there was love all around, but I never heard it singing. No, I never heard it at all, till there was you.
I've really been enjoying the new album, the Meet the Smithereens. But I got to ask, what made you guys decide to cover the whole album, cover the whole Meet the Beatles album, as opposed to just a song?
Well, we had covered Beatles and Beatle-related tunes in the past. We were asked to perform at a Beatles event in Louisville, Kentucky, a great festival entitled Abbey Road on the River, and I think they do them at a few locations, Louisville, Scranton. The request was that we perform an entire set's worth of Beatles material as interpreted by the Smithereens, because we had always done Beatle covers dating back to 1980 when John Lennon was murdered, and we did Ticket to Ride as our encore, I think several nights after his assassination, and Steve Simmels, that noted critic from Stereo Review, wrote about it. So we've been doing this our entire career, and the Beatles are part of the five or six B's that really influenced our career, meaning the Beatles, the Bo Brummels, the Byrds, the Beach Boys, W.A., Beatles C, that great AM radio station out of New York that was so influential. And we've always done this. So in any event, we agreed to do this Beatles convention for the first time. And for us, it was really, really enjoyable. It was a kick to walk to the venue, which is a beautiful old theater. And every 50 or 100 yards or so, you'd see these four black-clad stick figures with Beatle wigs standing in the distance, and you know, you'd get close and realize it was yet another Beatles tribute band, but they were all like 55-year-old men with Beatle wigs. And you know, there's still something lovely about that, and its context, placed in the context of the whole event. So we did a variety of Beatles songs, everything from Please Please Me to You've Got to Hide Your Love Away, and all points in between, and it got a remarkable reaction. But what was also very interesting was that there were calls from the audience of this packed, sold-out house for Smithereens songs, and I immediately realized that there was some sort of crossover between diehard Beatle fans and Smithereens fans, because obviously we've always worn the influence of the Smithereens rather proudly on our collective group sleeve. We've never denied that or tried to claim that we were wholly original. Mm-hmm. So several days after that highly successful and rather enjoyable gig at a Beatles convention, I began to receive emails from some of the nice folks who had attended the show and were impressed by our approach, the Smithereens' approach to the material of the Beatles live. And they were suggesting via email that we should consider doing an entire album's worth of Smithereens covers of Beatles songs. So it sort of set the wheels turning in my mind. And I put the word out via my website and via the Smithereens' official website to our supporters and friends all across the world online, that if we were to do a Smithereens Beatles album, what songs would they like to hear us do? Because we always like to involve them and get their input. In any event, what came back was very interesting and very informative indeed. But their song choices were entirely all over the map. You know, it went from Please Please Me to Happiness is a Warm Gun to, you know, Let It Be. It just made the project even more daunting, because we would have to attempt, if we went that route, to do cover versions in our own style of material that spanned the entire 10-year career of the Beatles and the production change from album to album.
Right.
So I feared that there would be no real continuity from song to song. And also, the challenge was not as great a challenge as I would prefer. Anybody can sit down and pick the best of the Beatles and interpret those songs. It's just too easy to go with the hits. I wanted to do something that had more weight or more impact And so I thought about the relevance or the meaning of the Capitol Records release, Meet the Beatles. For me, this album has real historic importance in terms of a lot of things. For example, the fact that the country was in such a funk, such a depression after the assassination, the murder of our president, John F. Kennedy. And we were living through it. I was in third grade. The Beatles made us forget our cares. It gave youth a voice. It gave them an identity, and it gave them something to take them away from the cares of the day, and it led to something else entirely. So we loved that album. That was probably the single favorite album of anything that any of the Spitterings listened to while growing up. And for all of these reasons, that's why we chose to do the entire Meet the Beatles album. And I had no knowledge at that time that anyone had ever attempted to do a Beatles album from beginning to end, although I later heard that Fish had done a live version of the White Album, and that there's some doo-wop album of Sgt. Pepper by a band called Big Daddy. But this is something different. It's the Beatles really in their prime, at the apex of their career as a live quartet, you know, touring all the time, able to really focus on it. And Ringo really steps up his game on Meet the Beatles. Mm-hmm. And those are the reasons why we did it.
That's great. And I think you guys did a great job as far as picking the right genre to really kind of showcase the combination of being true to the originals, but still putting the Smithereens' unique style on it. How hard was that? I mean, how hard was it to, as you're reviewing these songs and getting ready to start rehearsing and performing them, how hard was it to say?
Well, I don't think it was difficult at all for our drummer, Dennis Dykin, for example, because for years he's been practicing along with that album. It's his favorite record to play to.
Really?
You know, he learned how to play. And there are elements of that great early Ringo Starr style in Dennis's playing, even to this day. It was certainly much more daunting for Jim to have to learn these guitar parts for songs that on the surface appear very simple, but are actually, in fact, very complicated. For me, it was my most difficult, or the most difficult vocal assignment of my career, because not only did I have to do what they did, but I had to take it somewhere else and put my own stamp on it as a vocal, which is very difficult, and not lose the audience in the process. So it sounds like the Smithereens, it sounds like the Beatles, it sounds like the original recording, but it also sounds like a brand new Smithereens recording. And I had a very gratifying email recently from a fan that said, this sounds like a meeting of my two favorite bands, the Smithereens and the Beatles, and I think they've kind of said it all.
Oh wow! Yeah, you can't do much better than that.
Oh yeah, tell you something, I think you'll understand when I say that something. I wanna hold your hand. It's such a feeling that my love, I can't hide. Yeah, you got that something, I think you'll understand. When I feel that something, I wanna hold your hand. I feel happy inside.
such a feeling that my love, I can't hide, I can't hide, I can't hide. Yeah, you got that something I think you'll understand. When I feel that something, I wanna hold your hand. I wanna hold your hand. I wanna hold your hand. I wanna hold your hand.
You've actually performed with, did I read this right? You've performed with Paul McCartney in the past?
Yeah, that was a very lucky event in my life. Having grown up with the Beatles and having heard them for the first time while preparing for third grade class one winter morning, I think it was either late December of 63, or it might have been January after the school break of 64, hearing a legendary DJ out of New York City, a guy named Herb Oscar Anderson, on WABC, play for the first time a track by a group from England called the Beatles, and he made light of the fact that they were called the Beatles and made fun of the name. He was astounded that they were from England, because very little rock and roll was coming out of England at that point. But he said, here are the Beatles from London, England, with, he didn't say Liverpool, with I Want to Hold Your Hand. And I was listening to it on my little red transistor radio as I was brushing my teeth, getting ready for school. And as the opening chords hit and the vocals came in, I literally dropped my toothbrush into the sink. It hit me over the head.
Wow.
With such impact, you know, and I remember it vividly to this day. It sounded as though something had landed on Earth from another planet. It sounded like some strange music out of the moon. And when my dad got home from work that day, I insisted that he take me to the store and pick up this great single called I Want to Hold Your Hand. And that's when it started for me, and that's when everything changed.
Wow.
You could see it. You know, kids started growing their hair long. Kids started taking guitar lessons. Musical instrument sales went through the roof. And you could hear it, you know, walking home from school from third grade. You could hear bands rehearsing in garages. So it started something very important. And, you know, Beatlemania, if you look at the newsreel footage, it's a phenomenon. It's the most amazing thing I've ever seen. And I'm thoroughly convinced that, you know, the Kennedy assassination in no small part helped to spawn Beatlemania. The country was just in the right place emotionally and psychologically for this to happen.
Back to the interview in just a moment, but first let's listen to a couple of other songs, some other cover songs from the Smithereens Library. We're going to start off with a cover of Ringo Starr's It Don't Come Easy.
Sing the blues, and you know it don't come easy. the steel linebacker who sat in the dress in a room where you do what you don't confess. Sundown, you better take care if I find you been creeping around my back stairs. Sundown, you better take care if I find you been creeping around my back stairs. Like a queen in a sailor's dream, but you don't always see what you really need. Sometimes I think it's a shame when I get feeling better when I'm feeling the pain. Sometimes I think it's a shame when I get feeling better when I'm feeling the pain. That a man could make getting lost in a loving is your first mistake. Sometimes I think it's a sin when I feel like I'm winning when I'm losing again. Sundown, you better take care if I find you've been creeping around my back stairs.
Sundown, originally by Gordon Lightfoot, performed there by Pat Denizio, a demo that he recorded in his house. You'll find that on a 2-CD deluxe reissue, which has both the albums God Save the Smithereens and Pat Denizio's solo album Songs and Sounds, and then throws on a ton of bonus tracks, some covers, some rarities, some demos, awesome stuff. Before that, you heard It Don't Come Easy, performed there by the Smithereens. That comes from a B-side to the Too Much Passion CD single and is a cover of Ringo Starr. Let's go ahead and get back to the interview. I wanted to talk to you about some of the other covers you've done. You actually mentioned a couple of them that I was going to ask you about. The Ringo Starr cover of It Don't Come Easy. Tell me a little bit about how that came about.
You would always want some sort of B-sides to release. You know, because we were still releasing vinyl, and you'd put out CD5s or whatever they were called, where you'd have a couple of tracks from the record, or you'd have an alternate mix, an acoustic mix, and you'd want to put other tracks on it. So we've done, when we recorded Green Thoughts, our second album on Capitol, we did all the basic tracks in one day, and there were 26 of them, and there was a cover of Lust for Life by Iggy Pop. There was a cover of Something Stupid by Frank and Nancy Sinatra. A cover of One After 909 by the Beatles. A cover of Ruler of My Heart by Irma Thomas, which is also known as Pain in My Heart, which I think was done by Otis Redding. Mm. So we did a whole bunch for that album. And along the line, we've been asked to do covers. There was a film, a horrible film with Christian Slater, who was a big star at the time, It was called Cuffs with a K, K-U-F-F-S, and I guess he was a detective. And we were asked to do a version of Shaken All Over, you know, by Johnny Gibb and the Pirates and the Gesso and the Beatles, except they wanted it to sound like the Talking Heads doing it. And my thought on it was, well, why don't you just call them? Right. Why are you calling the Smithereens to do a version of Shaken All Over that sounds like the Talking Heads? But we did it, and it sounds like us. We did Time Won't Let Me for the film Time Cop. And we were so delighted that Tom King from the original Outsiders, rest in peace, he's gone now, he said that that was the best version of that song other than theirs that he had ever heard. And that was done for Time Cop, and we actually wound up doing a ludicrous video for that film, filming with Jean-Claude Van Damme, the actor who was a very big star at the time. I was starring in that film, and it begins with a non-musical prologue whereby we're standing there with our instruments in front of a sort of control panel that is meant to be a time machine. And he's standing behind it, and he says to the Smithereens, Jean-Claude Van Damme, "Listen, and by this method, I will send you through time. But I cannot guarantee your safety. Are you willing to try?" And we look at each other, we shrug our shoulders, we go, "Yeah, sure. Why not, you know?" My career's not happening at this point anymore, so maybe if we go back in time, you know, we'll be able to sell some records or something, you know? And it was funny. So, but, you know, the covers, Brian, a lot of times you're not given the proper amount of time, and it's the kind of thing where you've got one day off on the road, the label insists that they need something for some reason. There's other covers. There's live versions of us and one of our early mentors, Otis Blackwell, who wrote Fever, Don't Be Cruel, All Shook Up, Great Balls of Fire. We were his touring band for a period of a year or so. We recorded two albums with him. And on Attack of the Smithereens, our Capitol Records disc, which I believe is out of print. I mean, you can find it pretty much anywhere on eBay or Amazon, used copies. There's a version, two songs with Otis on that. There's a great version of The Seeker.
The Seeker by The
Who. The Seeker. I'm glad you reminded me of that because it somehow wound up into our live shows. It was one of those great Who tracks that the diehard fans would know, but the general public wasn't that aware of. And that was the first time we were allowed in the studio to record a B-side that we produced ourselves. And the sound of the band was getting slightly heavier from due to all the touring, you know, doing 300 dates a year, you know, nonstop, which lasted for about 10 years or so. But that's a pretty cool version of The Seeker. I think it was the B-side of our single on Capitol, Only in Memory. And if you go to that Attack of the Smithereens record, you'll find a cover of You Really Got Me, except that it's the Smithereens backing up Ray and Dave Davies from the Kinks. There's also a version of the Smithereens backing up the Bo Brummels doing Just a Little, that great hit song from the 60s. So, you know, cover versions of songs have been part and parcel, in addition to the original material, throughout the entire career of the band.
And would you say that it's, of the cover songs you've done, how much say, you know, in some of those earlier ones, it sounds like you guys did get to pick the songs you were covering, but for some of the movie soundtracks, did they come to you and say, we want you to do a cover of Time Won't Let Me or Wooly Bully or things like that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, kind of going back to those older tracks, at the beginning of Behind the Wall of Sleep, you mentioned Jeannie Shrimpton, or Shrimpton?
Yes.
Who is Jeannie Shrimpton?
Jeannie Shrimpton was a British actress / model, mainly a model, who I believe was married at the time to the top fashion photographer, David Bailey. And she was the face of swinging London, you know, that very brief yet very famous period of time, circa 65 to 66, 67, when England was mecca for style and music and all of that. And she was very mod and very beautiful, and I was a fan of hers. and I was looking. There was a girl named Kim who was a bass player in a band out of Boston called the Bristols. And what was unique about this all-girl group was that they sort of dressed like and sounded like the Byrds, you know, that great band featuring Gene Clark and Roger McGuinn, and even down to the instruments. But the bass player, Kim, had long, almost waist-length black hair cut with bangs, and she looked like Jeannie Shrimpton. She looked just like that very famous model whom I had a crush on my whole life. And I developed an interest in her, and every lyric or line of that song is true. It's about a weekend spent in Boston mixing an album for a band called the Prime Movers, and supposedly being set up on a date with her and turning up to see her and then being stood up.
She had hair like Jeannie Shrimpton back in 1965. She had things that never ended. I was halfway paralyzed. She was tall and cool and pretty, and she dressed as black as gold. If she asked me to, I'd mention I would gladly lose my soul. Sometimes I'd even weep. Then I'd dream of her behind the wall of sleep. Well, she held a bass guitar, and she was playing in a band, and she stood just like Bill Wyman. Now I am her biggest fan. Now I know I'm one of many would like to be your friend, and I've got to find a way to let you know I'm not like them. Now I'd lie in bed and think of her. Sometimes I'd even weep, and I'd dream of her behind the wall of sleep.
Solo.
You know, for us, I mean, in the early days, we were doing covers like It Won't Be Wrong by the Byrds, which we thought was a great song, Stoked by the Beach Boys, that instrumental song, I'll Get You by the Beatles, stuff that sort of really reflected our key and our taste in minor key pop music. Don't Talk to Strangers by the Bob Rummels, quite a lot of Bob Rummels, but never things that were contemporary at the time, things by the Jam, for the Stranglers or any of the groups we listened to. You know, we would do Kinks covers, Buddy Holly, certainly, you know, things like that. And there's a lot of it floating around, you know, the bootlegs that have come out featuring the Smithereens. But that being said, so we did play the notes as written, yet it sounds like us, but in many instances, as the record labels would make cover song suggestions for specific projects like movies, there wasn't much you could do with it, and I really began to grow weary of playing the songs note for note. I got no thrill in that, so that changed around the time of our last studio album, God Save the Smithereens, which came out on Koch in 1999, where we did a very unique interpretation of one of my favorite songs that Billie Holiday hit called Gloomy Sunday.
Shadows I live with are numberless. Little white flowers will never awaken you. Not where the black coach of sorrow has taken you. Angels have no thoughts of ever returning. Spend it all. My heart and I have decided to end it all. Soon there'll be candles and prayers that are said, I know. Let them not weep, let them know that I'm glad to go. Death is the dream, for in death I'm caressing you. With the last breath of my soul, I'll be blessing you. Gloomy Sunday, dreaming. I was only dreaming. I wake and I find sleep in the deep of my heart. Darling, I hope that my dream never haunted you. My heart is telling you how much I want to do. Little white flowers will never awaken you. Not where the black coach of sorrow has taken you. Gloomy Sunday. Gloomy Sunday.
Was the song repeated to have led people to jump out windows and commit suicide. And had,
quite a legend, you know, behind that song, yeah.
Yes, there is. You know, so we did it, and our version of it sounds like the Smithereens meets the Beatles meets Billie Holiday.
Great.
And I was proud of that because we made it our own, and no one has ever recorded a version of it quite the same way. And that's when I realized that if we're going to do covers, let's at least try to make them our own. You know,
right. Do it on your terms kind of thing. And
yeah, and then we wound up doing I Want to Tell You from the Beatles' Revolver album for a compilation, a George Harrison tribute record.
Right.
And it was great because Dennis sort of led the charge, much as he led the charge with Meet the Smithereens, in that our version sounds like the Smithereens meets the Who meets the Beatles, you know, and it's got an entirely different tempo, yet it's an exciting tempo, and it's a natural tempo, and it's not the kind of thing where, well, yeah, they really forced this idea just to come up with something interesting, and it feels completely natural, and it's a great, exciting version of it.
And you mentioned the Who there, the Bo Brummels, all the bands that you've kind of mentioned as influences, a lot of that centers in that whole 60s and 70s power pop, and of course the Beatles, obviously, right at the forefront of that. Do you feel like that's missing in today's music, that the great power pop bands of the 60s and 70s, the focus these days for the popular music isn't on the same, you know, melodic driven and guitar pop as much as it is the
Brad, some of it is even with artists like Norah Jones, but I mean, you know, Carole King was doing it better 30 years ago. Mm-hmm. It's a fact. It's like most of the new stuff is like a Xerox of a Xerox of a Xerox of a Xerox, or a snapshot of a snapshot of a snapshot. It's like, you know, four times removed, and you hear some of these young jam bands playing, and you can hear a trace of Clapton or something from the 60s or early 70s, but they don't quite get it for some reason, maybe because mm-hmm. they didn't live through it, you know?
Right.
It's coming through some sort of bizarre filter where they don't really understand it. They're not living it in the way that Jeff Beck and Clapton and Jimmy Page and the Yardbirds and groups like that. They grew up on the real blues artists. It was the real thing. They listened to Muddy Waters and they listened to Howlin' Wolf, you know. And it's a little different. I think if they went back to the roots rather than started with Pearl Jam, maybe they might be better players or better songwriters.
Went back a few generations, yeah.
Yeah, well, for us, you can trace the lineage of, for example, the male pop vocal performance, which you could arguably say it began with Al Jolson, who took from the black performers. Al Jolson led to Bing Crosby. Crosby led definitely to Sinatra, who spawned Dean Martin, who spawned Elvis. Mm-hmm. Dean Martin was Elvis's favorite vocalist. And then Elvis spawned Buddy Holly, and Buddy Holly spawned the Beatles, whom Roy Orbison, while touring with them, called just a loud version of Buddy Holly. And then after the Beatles hit, it spawned everything else, and everything just exploded. And again, it started with Meet the Beatles.
Right. Well, now that Meet the Beatles is doing really well, I saw it's, I think it was number 4 or something on the iTunes new album chart for the week, which is excellent. What's next for you guys? Is there going to be another Smithereens album, or are you going to go back to doing some of the solo
stuff?
Yeah,
very definitely. We've been doing new stuff live. I have a solo album, a fan club album that I'm just about to finish up and send out to the folks. And then I guess we'll just sort of woodshed at the house here in New Jersey and come up with another album. I sort of knew, Brian, that based on certain incidents in my life, that this might be a better project to kind of reintroduce the band to the music buying public again. You know, although they know we're around because we've been doing dates for years and years, nonstop. You know, we haven't been active in terms of recording new material. I've done records. You know, I did an album for the Fuel Universal label several years ago, about a year ago actually. And I did a record called Songs and Sounds. So there's been work that I've been doing as a solo artist, but it's never come together with the Smithereens for the past couple of years. And I mean, we'll do dates with Cheap Trick, at least several a year. And they consistently make new albums that don't really sell or get on the radio anymore because things have changed so dramatically. But they do it as a sort of artistic statement, and the hardcore constituency that still supports them may or may not want to hear this. And I can see while standing in the wings, they do the new tunes, and the audience is pretty much sitting on their hands, and then they'll applaud politely, and then they'll stand up and start dancing and go berserk when they do Dream Police.
Right. Right.
You know, so it's a funny time. Arguably, do we need to do another studio album? Yes, as a matter, it's important to me in terms of being a so-called artist and it being my chosen form of self-expression. Yeah, it's always great to create something new. Is it necessary? I don't know. We've got a considerable body of work behind us with a lot of hits. And we probably would never have to do another album and still be able to continue playing on the road for the rest of our lives. But that being said, one likes the challenge, and I'd like to see what will happen. Certainly we're delighted that out of the box, this new album seems to be doing so well. Who knows how long it'll last. I don't have any unrealistic expectations about it. But, we can only hope that the word spreads about it, because it is genuinely a good record. It's an upbeat record. I believe it will raise the spirits of anyone that listens to it and kind of take them back, especially if you were born in that era or you grew up with that record. It will hit you where you live.
Absolutely.
Because it was done with a lot of love and, as I said before, reverential respect, and it will make you smile. And I think the main reason for music, and certainly what it did for me throughout my adolescence and my later years, and even now, is that it takes you out of your reality for a brief period of time and takes you to another world. And we all need that. And we're living in troubled times, not unlike the period following the Kennedy assassination. So maybe there's a reason why we did this that we're not even aware of.
Absolutely. Yeah, you can draw a lot of parallels between the mood of the country in 1965 and the mood of the country here in 2007.
And this is a very, very upbeat record. And I got a nice email from someone, and I'm not sure if I mentioned this to you before, but the email said, Pat, I don't know how you did it, but it sounds like you guys could have written these songs.
Oh, wow.
He said it sounds like the early Smithereens. So that was high praise, and I really appreciate the person saying that.
That's great. Well, I congratulate you on the success of the new album. I'm definitely looking forward to what's next for you guys. I've been a Smithereens fan since the house we used to live in way back on one of those earlier albums. So I thank you very much for coming on the show.
We may have to cobble together just for you a collection of all the covers that we've done, and put them on one disc. It'll probably be three discs, though.
Oh, yeah, at least. Well, I'll play a couple in
my
show.
That's a good idea.
I think it's a great idea. I think I know the fans here would love it. I'd love to pick something like that up. Absolutely.
We've been doing a very cool live version of Behind Blue Eyes done in our style.
Oh, wow.
By The Who. So, a lot of stuff never came out. We did a lot of covers for RCA. We did Blue Christmas, Your Blues, Rosie, Won't You Please Come Home by the Kinks, a song from King Creole, As Long As I Have You. A lot of oddball choices.
I was going to say, King Creole, man, Kid Creole, that's a huge jump in style for you guys.
Well, it had to do with my love for New Orleans and the fact that when I was married, my wife and I lived on the same street on Madison between Charters and Decatur and the French Quarter, the same street where the opening sequences for King Creole were filmed.
Oh, wow.
So that had significance. And it was like, you do things for different reasons. And it was my wife's birthday coming up, or Valentine's Day or something. And I said, fellas, would you mind recording this song? It's one of my wife's favorites. And then we did it. And so there it is.
That's awesome.
But it's unreleased, so.
Wow.
Someday.
Yeah, well, if you ever want to release it via podcast, let me know. Cover will be a great place to showcase it.
I might just have to send it to you.
Yeah. Terrific. Well, thanks again. I appreciate you taking the time to talk to us.
Thank you, Brian. I've enjoyed our conversation.
Absolutely. Me too. Thanks. Well, once again, I want to send out a big thanks to Pat Denizio from the Smithereens for taking the time to talk to me here at Coverville. Definitely check out their new album, Meet the Smithereens, a great, great cover tribute album, as well as their back catalog. They put out a ton of fantastic albums, and you should definitely check them out. If you want to get in touch with me here at the show, you can do it by emailing me at coverville@gmail.com. Call the request line 206-222-COVER or post a message on the weblog or in the forums at www.coverville.com. We'll be back on Sunday night with another all-request show. Until then, this is Brian Ibbett saying that just about covers it for tonight. Thanks for listening. Have a good night. Bye-bye. Coverville is a proud member of the Backbeat Media Podcast Network, and bandwidth for Coverville was provided by Cachefly, CacheFly.com.